Hi, friends. How are we doing today? Thank you for being here. Today we continue a series studying the New Testament letter of James. This morning we'll look at the second half of a passage that Tara taught last week. As we've seen throughout the series, the wisdom of James is simple, practical, portable, and potent. My prayer is that God particularly uses the wisdom of James today to get our attention and keep our attention in the days to come. In fact, let's ask God to do just that now. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of this passage cut through our attitudes and our excuses to penetrate our souls with a truth we desperately need. May you catch us off guard with the simple but serious message of this verse. And may we receive it with joy and humility as you change us from within. Thank you for speaking to us. Help us hear you today. In the name of King Jesus, we pray. Amen.
James had problems. He would go to his parents with his problems, and you know what they would say? He'd be like, well, what would Jesus do? You know? Then they gave him a bracelet. And then he started selling those bracelets. You know? Made some money selling bracelets. What would be cool is a What Would James Do bracelet, right? Same initials, different meaning.
Well, today we will find out what James would do in traffic. We'll discover what James would do when someone cuts in front of him, when he's inconvenienced by a colleague, when a fellow passenger hogs both armrests on the airplane. In James 1:19, the apostle says to himself and to everyone else, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Today we're going to talk about anger. As I considered anger's influence on my life this week, I had a feeling that more than a few of us need to hear the wisdom James offers. Maybe you don't even know you need it. For some of us, our anger issues are obvious. When things don't go our way or people don't do what we want, we rage out of control. We have a problem with anger. We know it. Our family knows it. Our friends know it. And we know. We need to deal with it. For others, our anger is subtler. Instead of rage, we withdraw. We punish our offenders with silence. Some of us sling sarcasm. Some of us heap guilt. Some of us stuff our anger so that it festers and ferments into a force that consumes our souls from within. However it looks, we can't deny it. Many of us have a problem with anger. And our anger creates more problems than we realize. That's why James warns everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, anger is a tool we use to fix things, but it often does more damage. Anger is a vehicle we use to get where we want to go, but we don't always like where it takes us. Anger is a response we use to accomplish our will, but by using it, we often step outside God's will. Dallas Willard summed up the wisdom of James when he observed, "Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it." Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Now, this may be hard for you to believe, because anger's opened doors for you. You've used it as a means to an end. Anger gets people's attention. Anger keeps people's attention. Anger gets results. You found that to be true at work, at home, in friendship, in marriage, in parenting. And the fact of the matter is, you wouldn't know how to live or lead without it. But James calls us to reconsider the results of anger. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. When James writes these words, he writes them in Greek, but as he does so, he almost certainly has in mind an old Hebrew metaphor. Erech apayim, say that with me. Erech apayim. It's usually translated slow to anger in English, but literally it means having a long nose. It's an ancient expression in the ancient Near East. If you had a hot nose, you were a hothead with a short fuse. But if you had a long nose, you were a patient person who took a long time to get angry. I don't know the origin of the phrase. Perhaps people with long noses were considered more patient than people with cute button noses. I'd like to think that's true. Because I've been blessed with a gigantic schnoz. But in the Bible, this phrase is found most often to describe the patience of a single individual. The person with the biggest nose in the Bible is the Almighty God. In fact, it's one of the most important things you could ever understand about his character. On the day he revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, God described himself to his people by saying, Exodus 34:6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He reminds them in the book of Numbers, Numbers 14:18, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. The Psalms continue the refrain, Psalm 86:15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. For those who are turning from sin and to God, Joel 2:13, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. My friends, next time you're about to fly off the handle at your lousy roommate or your lazy colleague, remember the character of our long-nosed, patient God. And remember the words of James. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Or look at this proverb, Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, according to this proverb, the strongest people in life aren't the most athletic or the most talented or the most courageous. The strongest people in life aren't leading a military division, running a Fortune 50 company, or ruling a nation. According to the Proverbs, the strongest people in life have the ability to rule their souls. We pay to watch movies with courageous heroes who fight battles and conquer armies. But here the Proverbs contrast those who fight evil people with those who fight the evil within. To be sure, the warrior has his or her place, but the real hero is the one who subdues his or her passions. This proverb calls into question our ideas of strength and weakness. Maybe we're not as strong as we think we are. Because the strongest among us are slow to anger. To rule one's spirit is a vivid image for self-control. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The fool doesn't hold back. The fool claims it's his right to vent his anger. But the wise keep themselves together. Why is it foolish to give full vent to your anger? In part because it's selfish. Again and again in the Proverbs we see the fool isn't stupid, he's self-centered. Now, you vent your anger to make yourself feel better. But what about those who are scalded as you let off steam? What about those who receive the brunt of your blow up? Are they just supposed to be okay with it? Are they just supposed to expect it's the price they pay for being married to you? The one who gives full vent to his anger is a fool. Aristotle observed, anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. And we should be clear about something. Not all anger is bad. Anger helps you stand up for what's right. Anger helps you protect what's most valuable to you. Henry Cloud says anger is like your immune system. Your immune system protects the good and destroys the bad. If your immune system is weak, you have little defense against harm. Conversely, and this is important for our discussion today, your immune system can turn on itself. Think of an autoimmune disease which causes your immune system to fight healthy cells. In the same way, healthy anger can protect love and freedom and intimacy. But unhealthy anger destroys the very things it was created to protect. See, not all anger is bad. Just unchecked anger or unrestrained anger or quick anger. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, James isn't saying that all anger is sin. He just says, be slow to it. He says, arrive at anger after dragging your feet, after great deliberation. Because, he says, it doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. In essence, he's saying, everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Everything you can do with anger, you could do better without it. Generally speaking, the emotion of anger rarely helps you honor God. There are better ways to accomplish your goals. Think about it. Why do you have to get angry to get something accomplished? Why do you have to raise your voice? Why do you have to fuss and fume? You say, they won't listen unless I get their attention. Maybe. Or maybe you're just an overgrown bully who likes to impose your will on those around you. Hey, real men don't need to yell. And I think that goes for ladies too. But anger itself is not the problem. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus gets angry, God gets angry, the Apostle Paul gets angry. Anger itself is not the problem, but it often leads to problems. That's why so many scriptures give caution after caution against anger. Anger is dangerous. Unchecked anger becomes a breeding ground for a multitude of infectious sins. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul warns us, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The words in quotes are taken from Psalm 4. Anger is not a sin, but it often leads to sin. So Paul cautions, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, deal with it. He says, don't let it fester. You won't like the results. This doesn't mean you can't take time to cool off. Maybe self-control requires you to remove yourself from a situation to return to it later. The key is returning to it very soon. But you know, I wonder how many married couples will go to bed mad tonight. I wonder how many Christian conversations will end in rage and wrath this afternoon. Here's why we got to deal with our anger. The Apostle Paul says, if we don't, we'll give the devil a leg up. See, Paul wants us to understand how the devil works. If you nurse your anger, if you embrace it and dwell on it instead of deal with it, you're giving the devil a chance to work both in and through your life. How does that sound? Now, when you don't deal properly and intentionally with your anger, you make room for the devil to operate. I'm not talking about being possessed by a demon. I'm talking about unconsciously inviting him to influence your thoughts, attitudes, and relationships. It's a subtle evil. It's not blatant. That's why it's so effective in accomplishing his schemes. And the Proverbs, we find similar warnings. Proverbs 14, verse 17. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. The woman or man who comes quickly to anger creates folly. She overreacts. She blows things out of proportion. She says things she regrets. hearts. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. I love this verse. This word displays literally means exalt. It means to lift up or put on a pedestal. If you were to go to a museum or a showroom and you see something on a pedestal, it is probably the best version of whatever it is you're looking at. The quick-tempered person puts foolishness on a pedestal. If you really want to know what foolishness looks like, just search for a hothead. In him or her, you will find the paragon of folly, the epitome of foolishness. Oh, my friends, take heed. Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Now, the Proverbs also warn us how to deal with angry people. There are wise ways and there are foolish ways. Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. This proverb should frighten those of us who have a temper. Look how it counsels the people around you. Of course, this is not a license to divorce a hothead, nor is it a command to ruthlessly cut people out of your life. However, the proverb makes a couple good points. First, anger is contagious. If you grew up in an angry home, you may have contracted it and learned your parents' ways. Second, even if their behavior doesn't rub off on you, the negative consequences sure will. If you're married to someone with an anger issue, it will affect your relationships with your friends, your kids, your grandkids. You will be ensnared by your spouse's fury. That's why Proverbs 17:1 says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Better to be flat and broke than live with a man or woman of rage. Well, let's say you do. Let's say your roommate has a short fuse. Let's say your father's prone to explosion. How do you deal with them? Proverbs 19, verse 19. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. Maybe a friend makes a request of you. When you say no, he gets angry. When you say no, he throws a fit because you're not bending to his will. However, if you give into his tantrum, if you cave under the pressure of his anger, you're training him how to get his way with you next time. The question is, how do you let the hot-tempered person pay the penalty or feel the consequences of his or her actions? Well, if you have an angry person in your life, read the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. This isn't the first time I've recommended the book. It won't be the last. It's a good book. We have a few copies left in the bookstore today. Now, if you're the angry person, you need to read this book as well, because it'll help you to own your anger. It will help you stop making the excuse, I can't help myself. You can help yourself. You just have to learn how with God's help. Developing boundaries will help you own your anger. We often use an expression. We say, you make me mad. Now, that's technically not true. Nobody makes you be mad. Nobody compels you to respond in rage. Certainly, their behavior may be a catalyst for your anger, but it's your anger. And you have to deal with it in a way that honors God. Your circumstances don't have to be in control of your anger. They're only in control if you give them control. Angry husbands or wives, do you want to finally fix your problem? Do you want to enroll in the school of wisdom? Buy the Boundaries book and read it. And buy a copy for your spouse and ask him or her to help you. Now, you may resist healthy boundaries. Maybe you're afraid to give up your right to an angry outburst. You're afraid you'll become a pushover. Oh, I wish you could trust the power of gentleness. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. This is great counsel regarding word choice and tone during conflict. Anger begets anger. Volume provokes emotion. Harsh words incite defensiveness. But gentleness and a cool head disarms and defeats wrath when it enters the room. Don't underestimate the power of patience. Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Okay. Parents, why do we have to be angry when we discipline our children? Really, why do we have to grit our teeth and throw a hissy fit when our kids disobey? Here's some of the best parenting advice I've ever received. When it comes to disciplining our kids, the key is to mean it without being mean. Mean it without being mean. Isn't that great? I use it with adults just as much as children. Let's return to the wisdom of Proverbs 16, verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, maybe you see yourself as a fighter. Maybe you see yourself as a fighter. And hear me, standing up for yourself is an important part of healthy boundaries. However, according to the Proverbs, it's better to control yourself than stand up for yourself. Or as Old Testament scholar Paul Koptok paraphrases it, it's better to exhibit self-control than to control others. Friends, believe it or not, everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Are there any moms who need to hear this message today? We stress and we strive to provide and protect. We do everything in our power as parents to give our children every opportunity to grow academically, athletically, and relationally. But do you realize one of the best things you could do for your kids is create a home where peace reigns? One of the best things you could do for your kids is model life-giving anger and God-honoring patience. Dads, because of your rage, your kids may be afraid of you. You think your way is getting what you want, but one day you'll regret it. You know, there are couples in this room who are missing out on intimacy and connection because of anger. Your marriage is cold, your conversation is dead, and much of it is because of pent up or poured out hostility. Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. That's true in relationship, and that's true in leadership. But I know, change won't come easy. Look again at Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Only the strongest among us rule over our passions. It's a powerful truth with an ominous implication. If only the strongest among us reign over our passions, that suggests it's harder to reign over your passions than it is to seize a city. How many cities have you seized this week? I say that to acknowledge how challenging this will be. Some of us have developed some really bad habits. But as Dr. Willard reminds us, habits are not like the law of gravity. Habits can be broken. Here's the important point, and this is essential. The training required to break your bad habits will not be done for you, but neither can you do it on your own. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Note, these aren't the fruit of mere hard work and sheer discipline. They are the natural result of life and the Spirit. My friends, the closer you get to God, the stronger He will make you. The closer you get to God, the easier it will be for you to respond with peace and patience. As you get closer to Jesus, you will catch yourself being gentle with screaming kids and screaming clients and screaming coworkers. As you get closer to Jesus, you will find yourself not always needing to have your own way. So you don't get so upset when someone wrongs you. You don't have to power up like you used to. Imagine the freedom of actually being able to choose gentleness in a moment of frustration. When someone bites, you don't have to bite back anymore. Imagine being free from fury. Imagine dealing with the difficulties of your day without aggression or enmity. Imagine confronting annoying trivialities and massive crises with patience and kindness and love. Imagine being able to finally lay down those well-used weapons of sarcasm and derision. Leaders, picture your employees responding to your candor with gratitude and humility because your words are without wrath. Parents, picture your kids melting into your arms when you discipline instead of running for their lives. Can you picture it? That's what God wants for you. Let's ask for his help. Pray with me. Lord, as we once again read the words of James, may you help us take our sin seriously. Lord, help us stop minimizing our rage as if it's not that bad. Help us to stop blaming it on our problems or the people around us, but change us from within. Make us patient people. May we be slow to anger when we're inconvenienced, when people don't listen, when people change plans on us. May we be slow to anger when we talk about politics. May we be slow to anger when we talk about politics. May we be slow to anger when we talk about politics. Oh, God. Lord, give us the creativity and the commitment to find tools that will help us. Books, spiritual disciplines, ways we can connect with you day to day so that you can work in us to shape us and mold us into patient, gentle people. Open our eyes to see friends around us to whom we can open up and develop an accountable relationship on this matter. For some of us, we need the courage to go see a counselor because we need help. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. And wounds like that don't heal on their own. And we need help. Give us the courage to find a life-giving counselor who can help us find healing in you. Find the freedom of forgiveness. Work within us. Shape us and mold us. So we can fix that friendship, save that marriage, and rule our souls. Lord, I pray for the guy or gal who's listened to this sermon and is wondering, can you teach an old dog new tricks? Because they've developed lifelong patterns of rage. It's just a part of their identity, and people have come to expect it from them. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? They may be wondering. Well, it depends on the trainer. And I pray you give them hope to see what you could do in them, even now, in this season of life. It is not too late. May their eyes be open to see what you want to do in their heart today. And may their eyes be open to see the effect this may have, not just on current relationships and future relationships, but you might even use this season as an opportunity to heal some old relationships that have been broken. Give them the faith to believe it. Lord, as I have throughout this series, I pray for my friends who are new to faith or who wouldn't even call themselves people of faith yet, but they're curious, they're searching, they're seeking, they're wondering if you're real, if this is true. Lord, I pray that you would prove yourself trustworthy. Prove yourself trustworthy to that guy or gal. May they see the wisdom of your words in this passage and the rest to follow, so much that they begin to trust you, not just with their words and with their anger, but with their entire lives. I pray that happens. And I can't wait to be here to see it. Thankful for your grace, ever present, always working in us and among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's talk about homework. Because I've got some assignments for you. Here's the truth. The real work that God wants to do in you on this subject, this might just be a start. What really matters is what you do on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. It's what you do when you get home. It's what you do when you're at work. What I recommend is you find little disciplines, little ways to connect yourself to God, to get you thinking about this from a new angle, so you can get closer to Him, so He can work in you to shape you and to mold you. Now, I'm going to give you some assignments. You don't have to do all of these. In fact, you may need to do something else. But I want to give you some ideas of how you can take responsibility for what God wants to do in you as you grow in His grace. First, go to an online Bible, like BibleGateway.com download the YouVersion app on your smartphone and search the Bible for a word. Search for the word anger. It's listed a lot of times throughout the scriptures. Search for the word anger and just read every single passage of scripture that comes up. Now, not all will apply to you, but some of them will. And when you find one that does apply to you, stop right there and give it a little time. Give it a little attention. Make a note to come back to it and unpack it with God, or to approach this from another angle, search for the word patience in the scripture. See what the Lord teaches you about Himself and about who He's called you to be. Often in contemporary translations, that phrase, erech apayim, is not translated slow to anger. Sometimes it's just translated patient. And so be watching for it. You might find it. I'll tell you, the best book I found on anger is Gary Chapman's book on the subject, Anger, Taming a Powerful Emotion. Dr. Chapman is the best-selling author of the book, The Five Love Languages, as well as the book on conflict that Tara recommended last week. I'm sorry to say, we've run out of copies in our bookstore. Really, we keep increasing the amount of books we buy every week, and you keep buying them. And so I guess this is working. And no, I don't get a cut from the author. But I'm really sorry to say we ran out of the books. We'll get more next week. Buy it online. Grab it on a Kindle. It's available in audio. Get it in your hands this week if you can. Don't wait for next weekend. Get it in your hands this week, especially if you need it. Don't let your anger do any more damage. If you'd like to learn by watching a video, I highly recommend watching a lecture by the late Dallas Willard. No surprise to you, Dr. Willard is one of the most important influences in my life. You can Google this lecture, search for Living Without Anger. It's in his Divine Conspiracy lectures. We'll also create a link for it that you can access through our website, capitalchurch.com. It'll be posted this afternoon, also available on our social media accounts a little later this week. Hey, and while we're at it, don't forget the aforementioned resource, Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. I think we have enough copies of that book at the back, so make your way back there if you're interested in that one. I want to invite you to stand with me. As you do, I want to give you a verse for the week, Proverbs 16:32. One of the most effective spiritual disciplines in my life is to carve out a little time and simply pray and ponder over the words of a passage of Scripture. Make this your verse this week. What does God want to teach you through these words? God's been using these words for centuries and centuries. There's a reason people have hung on to them. There's a reason a group of people in Utah in the 21st century are still talking about them. People find life in them. People find God in them. So pray over them. Ponder them. See what the Lord has to teach you. Also, we'll make this graphic available for you. Everything you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Both of those images you can download from our website this afternoon. Lastly, if you just need a laugh, go to michaeljr.com. And it will do your soul some good. If you came with a need, there will be some people waiting here at the front ready to pray for you. Make your way up. Invite somebody to do so. And hey, if you're struggling with anger and you'd like to confess it and just have a brother or sister pray over you, wow, what a great opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss it before you go. My prayer for all of you is this. May God grow your nose long. May he put within you peace and patience and gentleness and self-control so that you might be slow to anger. Thanks for being here. Grace and peace.